We've got a little height difference here, so we'll see how the microphone works. Hi, good afternoon. We're presenting on Community Approaches to Cardiovascular Health, a participatory model for community assessment and planning to address health disparities. And we're presenting on behalf of our partners here and on behalf of the Healthy Environments Partnership. I'm Chris Coombe from the Detroit Community Academic Research Center.
And I'm Angie Reyes, also a board member of the URC, the Community Academic Research Center, but also the executive director of a community-based organization, Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation.
And we're co-presenting in the spirit and practice of community-based participatory research is an equitable partnership between both community and academic partners, including in terms of our presentations and manuscripts. And we have no commercial interest to disclose. Now, as most of you, so we're presenting on behalf of the Healthy Environments Partnership, which I just mentioned, which is a community-based participatory research partnership founded in 2000 to examine the effects of the social and physical environments on health, and in particular on cardiovascular health in Detroit, three particular areas of Detroit. And we, the purpose of HEP is not only to understand those physical environment and social environments, but also to work with community members to develop interventions to respond to those. And here are a list of our partnership members. Okay, a little bit of background. As we all know from the conference so far and from our work, there's a lot of evidence that links stressors in the environment with poor health outcomes or better health outcomes, and that these resources are not distributed equally, but rather equitably, so that low-income communities and urban communities and communities of color are disproportionately affected by the risks. However, those communities also are full of resources. They're full of an extensive set of skills, experiences, resources, perspectives that can be drawn upon to help resolve some of the issues and problems in those communities, which come from far beyond those communities. And as a result of that, we developed the HEP CATCH project, Community Approaches to Cardiovascular Health, which is a CBPR planning process to develop and implement interventions to improve heart health in Detroit. This was a three-phase process, starting with a community assessment phase where we implemented a community assessment to engage residents and partners in assessing what in examining some of the strategies for reducing cardiovascular disease. The second phase is the community planning phase, and that is comprised of a series of town hall meetings, an intervention planning process, and an intervention and then the design of the intervention, followed by the actual conduct and evaluation of a pilot intervention and evaluation, which has been completed. So we're going to walk through these phases of the process.
Okay, I want to go over in a little more detail what the community assessment phase was and what it was involved. And the purpose of this was to get input from community members at several different levels of what kind of factors there were in the different communities that were either going to impact cardiovascular disease either positively or negatively. So there was the steering committee held a retreat in order to look at all of the data that had been gathered and to design the intervention. The research data came from four different areas. One was basic research design that was actually the first research-only project as part of the URC that was conducted to gather a lot of information about the economic conditions, stressful life experiences, air pollution, some of the food environment, so to kind of inform the whole process. This was really an iterative process, was building on previous research that had been done in the community. There were also focus groups that were conducted in each one of the three communities that were identified. A youth photo voice project, which involved young people from the three different communities that we're going to talk about, that involved them taking pictures in their communities that were their way of identifying, again, what were the strengths and what were the contributors to cardiovascular disease in each one of those communities, and that took place over the summer. And then there was also a new project that the HEP Steering Committee was engaged in, Lean and Green in Motown, which was working with the built environment and greenways, which also contributed to some information for the data for the design of the intervention. In the intervention planning process, there was a series of town hall meetings that were held in each one of the communities that incorporated people looking at some of the data that had already been gathered by each one of the different processes, and being able to also give input in each one of those town hall meetings on some of the things that they felt were contributing to the conditions of their community. So we, each one of the three communities had community organizations that recruited both community residents and leaders and policymakers to those town hall meetings, where people were in small groups as well as large groups and were sharing some of their perceptions and intervention, giving feedback to some of the information that was presented. And then there was an intervention planning team that came together afterwards, some evidence-based review process that took place, and then the retreat. So I'm going to go over a little bit the town hall meetings. This is some of the pictures from the different town hall meetings that were conducted, where there were the community residents and key representatives from each community that looked at all of the different data that was presented to them. And here's some of the slides and the way the information was presented to the community. So we gave them some of the feedback from some of the focus groups. The youth also presented the photos that they had taken in each one of their communities. And we looked at three different areas: health, access to healthy foods, air pollution, and physical activity. And this was some of the results, some of the quotes from the focus groups that and pictures that the kids had taken about conditions in their community that led to some of the stressors. And again, this was another slide that was shown to them, research on retail food environment. The little square box up in the left-hand top corner is a suburb of Detroit compared to the three communities in Detroit where the project was implemented. The Lower East Side, which is a predominantly African-American, low-income community, the Southwest Side, which is predominantly Latino community, and the Northwest Side, which is predominantly African-American but higher socioeconomic status. And you can see that there are actually, at this point, no large chain grocery stores in the city of Detroit. They've all disinvested themselves. So there are a lot of small mom-and-pop stores, more so on the Southwest Side than the Latino community, less so in the African-American community. So access to food is a huge issue in several of our communities. And then the next phase was to take a diverse group of 24 community leaders from the different communities and pull together the intervention planning team, taking all this information, what different community leaders and residents had recommended. So there were 2 3-hour planning sessions. They looked at all the assessment data, the interviews, the town hall meetings, as well as looking at some of the evidence-based reviews, and through these meetings recommended strategies for the steering committee to develop interventions.
So at this point, after we have had this gathering of information, presenting of information, getting feedback from the community, had this intervention planning team gathering together key leaders in the community, then they came up at their initial meeting with a set of strategies or focus areas. And from those set of sort of preliminary strategies, we went back to the staff and came up with an evidence-based review and looked at what are the existing strategies, the data around strategies to improve air quality, physical activity, and food access. So we categorized existing interventions in terms of those that have been demonstrated to be best practices, those that were promising strategies, but perhaps there isn't good data available, those strategies that don't seem to work, and those for which they may sound great, but they're either not tested or there was no evidence found. And we made this in a document form so that it would be very usable for the second large planning meeting of the intervention planning team. In addition, we pulled together information about other types of strategies, including the National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities funded projects. And we also looked at what is happening in Detroit, who is already working on what type of issues in what ways related to air quality, physical activity, nutrition, and food access. At which point the intervention planning team then pooled this information together and brought some recommendations to the HEP steering committee that then held a retreat to develop a broad intervention vision and strategy. And they reviewed the IPT recommendations and determined really a framework. And this framework included some cross-cutting issues, which you see in the light green around the outside, working with his existing organizations, building capacity. So cross-cutting issues that they wanted to include in an intervention plan. But the hub or the focal point of this intervention plan would be taking advantage of the greenways that are already started or getting started and using them as hubs for heart-healthy environments. And then the blue areas are the intervention strategy areas from which to develop a strategy. And this was developed by the steering committee, the HEP steering committee. And out of that, those recommendations from the steering committee and that framework, then that was sent back to staff to really create a pilot intervention from those recommendations. And once the nitty-gritty details of the intervention plan were developed, then that went back to the steering committee for further refinement and input.
So as you can imagine, there was a whole lot of data that was gathered through all these different processes, a lot of different recommendations, and trying to synthesize them down into something that was doable with the resources that we had while being able to capitalize on some of the resources that existed in the community. So what resulted was a six-week pilot project that was a walking groups in each one of the three targeted communities that was very successful in getting the community folks involved. So 100% of the people who started the project finished the project, which was pretty amazing. And I think that really was the result of the community having ownership of this whole process and the design. We did just recently, this past summer, receive funding to expand the pilot project. So we're going to be implementing a broader project in each one of those communities based on what was done in the pilot project. And as a result of all of this planning process, a lot of new relationships were developed, so we're able to pull new people into each one of those intervention sites in the whole process and helping to design and implement these different projects. So it really has strengthened the work that has been done. So in conclusion, in these lessons learned, is that if you build on these long-standing relationships, we're going to be much more effective in being able to implement projects with the community playing a key role. Trying to decide who's going to be doing what with so many people involved is a challenge, but having a structure to do that is very important. Bringing in new partners also creates opportunities, but also challenges. Bringing new people up to speed, getting them involved in an existing partnership, requires a significant time commitment from everybody, both those on the academic side as well as those on the community side, being involved in a very different way that many people had never been involved in. And community participants were paid for their time to be involved, because as part of our CBPR philosophy is that community people's time is just as precious as the academic world. So this was, a very effective way, I think, of being able to bring the community in and designing approach that was both very scientifically strong but also was very effective at a community level. Thank you.
Okay, thank you both very much. I have to say, you did it. You did it. You said you were going to do it, and you did it. Who's up next? All righty.